Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur einen Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Welcome back to Unexplained Encounters. Consider this a combined set of two lost episodes into one. You see, I've been looking at my old private and unlisted episodes and found these two. And for the life of me, I can't figure out why I ever took them down. I think it may have been due to me feeling sketched out about reading 4chan stories back in the day. Or maybe I put them into a compilation episode or a different kind of combination episode already and forgot. So if you hear these stories and they just sound like overly repeated stuff you've already heard a billion times, leave me a comment. Otherwise, enjoy, and I'll see y'all in the next one. White Thing, submitted by M. Bird. I live in the woods of the southeastern United States in Alabama. I'm also 17 and I'm still in high school, of course living with my parents. Let me be straight with you, I love it out here. But I can't lie when I say this. Some things happen out here that I can't really explain. Now, my brother and I each have a large Great Dane. Mine is a bit bigger. But every few nights now, it's like they go crazy, running and barking like crazy in the deep woods. I get worried and always go out to try to call them back to the house, but usually they are already just outside the door on the back porch, staring tensely and completely rigid. They're always looking into the woods, even when I open the door. At first, I just blamed it on the sound of their barking bouncing off objects and sounding further away than it actually was. Maybe that would explain the barking I heard, and why they were so close to the house when I'd come outside. That's what I thought until the hunting incident. Now I'm not so sure anymore. It was the single most intense moment I've ever experienced on the property. And as of writing this story, it happened a few months ago during the whitetail deer season. I'm an avid hunter, but I hadn't been yet that season due to my concentrating on wrestling season, which goes on around the same time. However, one day my dad called me and said my little cousin wanted to go hunting. He proceeded to ask me if I could take him, and I immediately agreed. I love that little dude, and he's obsessed with hunting. An hour later, we're walking down the trail, and I can't stop smiling because my cousin looked so happy in his little camo outfit. We walk down a very large hill, cross a creek, and walk up another hill. Then we arrive at the small house that we hunt out of. It overlooks a large green field that we started planting 2 years back. Off to the right of me, there is a small creek that leads into the creek we had crossed earlier, as well as a bunch of underbrush. To the left and in front of us, there is green grass that goes out for hundreds of yards. Unfortunately, we didn't get a deer that day. But I did see something strange, a white flash through the brush behind the back of the field. It was small, probably 4 feet off the ground, so I assumed it was the tail of a white-tailed deer, as they tend to run with their tails straight up. But even if it was just a deer, what the heck was it running from? We had taken down all the coyotes the year before, because they had been stealing chickens, and it was too far away to have noticed my little cousin and I. Anyway, that didn't really affect me much during the hunt, because I had no reason to believe that there was something weird happening in those woods. I was just frustrated at the lost opportunity at the deer. Soon after that, though, we began hearing walking through the woods to my right on the other side of the small creek and brush. I shushed my cousin, and I told him that I think something is walking towards the field. He got a little excited, because he thought it would be a deer that we could aim at, but I had said walking. I knew it wasn't a deer. When you spend that much time in the woods, as I have, you can identify a lot of animals by the sounds they make when walking through the woods. A deer, for instance, will often take about 3 steps, then pause and look around for danger before continuing on. This unknown creature I was hearing had a similar walking pattern to a squirrel. It would walk kind of fast, then crash like it was coming to a stop quickly. But it wasn't a squirrel. Squirrels aren't heavy enough to break twigs and branches alike. But this entity moved around outside of my sight for close to 45 minutes before suddenly stopping for good. I was unsettled but still operating like nothing was wrong at that point. Another hour passed and it got dark, so me and my slightly disappointed cousin walked back to the house without any issues. We got to the house and my cousin suddenly chirped, "Ugh, man, I left my camo bag." After the disappointing hunt, I couldn't let him go home without his favorite bag, so I offered to go down and get it for him, even though it was a dark, moonless night. And that was the choice that led me to the single most terrifying moment of my entire life. As I didn't have to worry about scaring off deer anymore, I decided to take our new four-wheeler. It was a Yamaha Grizzly 750cc. Any four-wheeler enthusiasts would agree that it is a monster in and of itself. I quickly made it back to the hunting house and grabbed the bag and a toboggan that my cousin had also left. As I hopped back on the four-wheeler, I looked up just in time to see a small white figure dash out of the corner of the headlight beam at an impossible pace. The memory of those footsteps in the brush came rushing back, and I decided I'm about to use 750cc's to get back to the house. I whipped around at a speed that wouldn't be approved of by many sane people, and I headed down into the creek. Then suddenly, I heard footsteps splashing through the water behind me at what sounded like Mach 7. I can hear these footsteps over the roar of my massive ATV engine, which shouldn't have been possible. And I cannot stress enough how fast it sounded. It was comparable to the speed of a jackhammer breaking concrete, but it was on water. I looked back and saw a small white humanoid with black hair half the length of its body. The only reason I could see it was because my ATV was close enough to it that my red taillight was illuminating the thing. This was enough. I pushed in the gas so hard, it sent dirt and debris flying behind me. I was flying out of the creek and ripping a completely new trail back up the giant hill that leads to my house. I hit a bump at this insane speed and the four-wheeler went airborne. This didn't faze me at this point. And as I landed 15 feet from when I left the ground, I was already full throttle again. I whipped into the gravel driveway at enough speed that I put deep ruts into the ground, and I hopped off, drawing my buck knife as I landed on the ground, and I looked everywhere. My eyes were darting all around me. The first thing I noticed, the creature wasn't anywhere that I could see. The second thing I noticed, neither was my cousin. I was past terror and getting furious at this point. "If you chase me, I'll run. But if you mess with my 6-year-old cousin, you run." I was about to take off into the woods yelling his name when I glanced over and saw him looking out of one of the windows of the house. He was pretty shaken up. I ran inside and asked if he was all right, and he said that he got scared when he heard me flying through the woods. He asked if I was running away from something, and I just said, "No, big dude, I was just doing it for fun," which calmed him down pretty quick. As he left that night, my father asked me why I was driving like a madman, but I gave him a look that said, "I'm not even about to talk about it." He said to me, "Just don't mess up that ATV," then he left me alone. Since then, nothing much has happened. I still hear my dogs barking out in the woods when I know they're on the porch. Other than that, the creature hasn't made another in-person appearance. And I'm okay with that. I hope it's gone, because if it does come back and it endangers my family or dogs, I'll blast that little white thing back to the gates of hell where it came from. Creepy Backwoods Experience, submitted by Carter Q. I'm a freshman in high school, and I live in a house that has a huge expanse of forest behind it. I explore these woods behind my house quite often, and I used to make trips through it to get to my ex-girlfriend's house with ease, since I don't have a car. At the time of this story, I was still dating her. Unfortunately, I had an experience that has guaranteed that neither I nor my ex will ever set foot in those woods ever again. It happened over my 8th grade summer break. I left my house around 10 p.m. to get to hers. It was dark, but I wasn't worried. I had made the trek many times before, plus her parents weren't going on vacation for a week. So I was willing to walk through the forest alone at night, so far as it meant being alone with her for a week. It was about a 20-minute walk going straight north, and I was confident that I would get there within 5 minutes after her parents left. Now, my girlfriend and I had made plans for a Doctor Who marathon on Netflix. We were both major nerds. But of course, I was still excited to be alone with her for the night. After walking for maybe 5 minutes or so, I saw movement out of the corner of my eye, and I turned to see nothing there. Slightly disturbed, I texted my girlfriend to wait for me at her back door. I was worried that I may have to run from a wild coyote or something, and I wanted to be sure she would be ready to open and close the door quickly if I did end up running for it. It was then that, I kid you not, I heard her say my name, and I immediately knew something was off. The voice I heard say my name said it in an almost seductive manner, but my ex had never talked to me in a seductive tone before, nor did I think she even knew how to sound seductive. Plus, she was at her house, so I knew that whatever I heard wasn't actually her. I began to walk faster, checking my phone to be sure I was going north. Then I saw movement in the corner of my eye. I turned even quicker than before, and I saw it. It was a pale, naked humanoid creature, or at least its head was humanoid. Then, to my horror, it slowly stood up. I'm 6 feet tall, so I'm not by any means a small guy, but this thing towered over me. I was more terrified than I'd ever been before, but I had one advantage that probably saved my life. I have a very strong, very fast-acting fight-or-flight response, and before this thing had even fully stood up, I was booking it north. I could see the lights of my girlfriend's house through the trees, and I started screaming to her, "Open the door!" I was maybe 10 yards from the door when I saw her open it. I heard her start to reply, "Carter, why are you yelling? What is that?" I didn't reply. I just ran in the house, and without stopping, I grabbed the doorknob and slammed the door shut. I heard a loud bang at the door, as if something had slammed into it. My girlfriend was hysterical. She kept yelling that we were going to die. As I set her down on a couch, I managed to calm her down. We stayed on that couch for the rest of the night, petrified. Later, she told me that the thing had been right behind me, whatever it was, and that it had actually been about to grab me. I'd only barely made it to the door. I still don't know what the thing was, but I can guarantee that no one could ever make me go into that forest again. Hey there, Darkness Prevails here, founder of EerieCast, my little network of scary shows. I appreciate you listening to our scary content, but did you know you can support us, get ad-free feeds of your favorite shows, get a 20% discount code to the EerieCast store, and unlock access to members-only audiobooks all at the same time? Just go to EerieCast.com/plus and become a member today. It's cheap and really helps us out. That's EerieCast.com/plus. Thank you.
Are you looking for your next spooky-themed podcast? Well, Rattled and Shook is a weekly podcast featuring true horror stories sent in by real people. We have guests, themed episodes, and immersive sound design so you can really feel the hairs on the back of your neck stand up. Oh, and we've got a touch of that nostalgic, old-timey radio show charm. Join us. Rattled and Shook is available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Southern Ohio Skinwalker. Submitted by Anon from 4chan. This happened a year ago during the summer. I'm 21 years old with a German bloodline, and though I don't have any native blood in me, I know all about skinwalkers and Wendigo, mainly from the massive amount of time I spent on 4chan in the past couple of years. I live in the hills of the Ohio River Valley. I'm an avid coyote hunter and fisherman. What time I'm not spending at work playing video games or browsing 4chan, I'm in the woods or on the river. One night after I left work, I decided to go fishing at the pond near my friend's property, to the northeast of my house. I got home, grabbed my rods, tackle box, and trusty HK VP9, because I carry it everywhere nowadays. Then I ran to the store and bought some chicken liver for bait. I should mention that I also brought my dog, a 9-month-old German Shepherd Rottweiler mix that I named Mouser. As I arrived on my friend's property and began pulling my truck into the field surrounding the pond, the sun was starting to set. It was eerily quiet, no noises of nature or any noise at all other than the engine of my truck running. It made me feel kind of uneasy, but I just pushed it to the back of my mind. I got out of the truck with my pup and began to set up my rods when Mouser started acting a little uneasy. I patted him gently on the side to try and reassure him that everything was fine. By the time my rods were set up and ready to go, it was dark out. So I went back to the truck to grab my glow sticks and headlamp. It was then that Mouser jumped into the truck and wouldn't move at all. I said to him, "What do you think you're doing?" Almost expecting an answer. But instead, I was hit with the most god-awful stench I've ever smelled in my life. The smell of sulfur and rotting flesh. I began to worry at that point. In an instant, every thread on 4chan that I've read about skinwalkers flew through my mind. I stayed still and silent for a second, listening. All of a sudden, I see Mouser start shaking and I hear footsteps behind me. The stench of rotting meat grew stronger. My heart was in my throat, and I had completely forgotten the handgun clipped underneath my steering wheel. I stood there for what seemed like hours, even though it was only seconds. I slowly started to turn my head back towards whatever was behind me. It was 50 feet away, and it was barely lit up by the light back by the pond. That's how I was able to see it, and I was completely horrified. It was easily 9 feet tall and had the head of a deer with scraggly antlers, as well as a deer's legs and a human's torso. But it was rotting. Fight or flight had hit me at that point, so I jumped into my truck and slammed the door shut. I held tight to my holster and rolled down the window, ready to fire at it at any moment while trying to back out. In seconds, I was out of the fields. I thought I was safe and getting away, but I was wrong. I looked over and saw Mouser with all his hair standing up, teeth bared, savagely growling at something behind the truck. It was then that I felt the back of the truck drop, as if something had jumped into the bed. I didn't dare look into my rearview mirror. I kept driving towards the dirt road to take me from the field back to my friend's house. I heard a loud screech coming from right behind me. It was close, but somehow at the same time it sounded distant. I drove for another 10 minutes, hearing tapping on my back windshield the entire time. Once I got back to my friend's driveway, all was silent. I gathered the courage to get out of the truck, forcing my pup to stay inside. I'd rather have something bad happen to me than him. That was almost a year ago now. I often go back there to do target practice sometimes, but I always have a feeling of dread around that pond, and I can still hear the screeching sometimes, as if I could ever forget that sound. The Creek, submitted by Sighting. This story is truly something I wish I'd never experienced. A couple of years ago, I lived in an apartment complex that had a creek to the back of it. I always wondered how deep the creek was, and if there was anything interesting there. One night, me and my father and his girlfriend were walking back to our complex, and my dad had to go to the bathroom. So me and his girlfriend walked up when I turned around to see where my father had gone, when I saw a black figure approaching from the edge of the creek. I simply assumed it was my father, and that's where he'd gone to pee, so I turned back around. My dad soon came back, but he came from the opposite side I'd been looking, so I asked him, "Hey, Dad, did you go to the creek to do your business?" He shook his head. At this point, I just wanted to get to the apartment, and my dad and his girlfriend were talking. That's when I felt something was behind me, and I turned around once more. It was so dark, and I had this sensation like someone was watching us. Suddenly, my dad perks up. He turns around and looks into the distance, and I see his eyes widen. I was wondering what he was looking at. Before I could look around, his girlfriend froze. That's when they both suddenly screamed and began to run. And that's also when I began to hear a fourth set of footsteps coming right towards us. We didn't go home that night. We were too scared of that creek to go all the way back. So we stayed in a hotel for the rest of the night. I don't know what the figure was. It could have been someone playing a prank on us. Or it may have been something that lived near the creek bed. Creepier yet, some kids went missing a while back from the bus stop, which was very close to that creek. And the three of us, me, my dad, and his girlfriend, all think something very strange is going on. The Beast, submitted by Rainy Day 16. 2 years ago, my cousin and I had gone out on a camping trip in the woods of rural Pennsylvania. The nearest house to his was about 3 miles up the road. His place was surrounded by woods. Him and I decided we were going to go about a mile or two into the woods and camp out. Little did we know that this would be the most creepy experience of our life. My cousin was 18 and I was 16 at the time. We began our walk through the woods around 6 p.m. that night. The sun wasn't quite setting just yet. We found the perfect spot, and I started a fire while he set up camp. The sun was beginning to set fast, so we decided to start cooking our dinner, which happened to be hot dogs. I was cooking some hot dogs when I noticed some faint footsteps coming up from behind me. I could tell by the way the leaves were crunching that the animal must have been pretty large. I looked at my cousin with wide eyes. "What is it?" he whispered to me. I put my finger to my lips and pointed behind me. I could tell he had heard it too. He gestured to me to move, so I slowly moved closer to him. He grabbed his .22 and loaded it as quickly and quietly as he could. But this thing must have heard him and stopped moving about 500 feet away from us. I could see the outline of it from there. It had to have been 7 feet tall, and it looked like it was covered with thick, matted fur. I've never seen anything like it. It was weird. I didn't feel fear, per se. I felt like it wasn't trying to put us in harm, but just wanted to pass through. My cousin must have felt differently, because he lifted up his weapon to fire. I put my hand on his shoulder and told him to lower it. By the look on his face, I could tell he thought that that was a bad idea. We watched the thing standing there for a minute, and then it took off to the right of us. My cousin proceeded to scream at me about me telling him not to fire. I told him that I didn't think it was going to hurt us. He paused for a moment, and I could see his eyes growing. He was looking at something behind me. He still had the weapon in his hand. I quickly lowered myself to the ground so he could have a clear shot. He pulled the gun to his shoulder and turned the safety off, then fired 3 shots at the thing. I think he hit it, because immediately I heard the thing growling and screeching. It made an almost coyote-type howl, but 10 times as loud and deep. Then it took off heavily through the woods. My cousin and I decided that we had had enough of camping for the time being. We packed up and put the fire out and made our way back to the house. We had flashlights guiding us all the way, but I still felt like something was following us. I could have sworn that I heard footsteps every couple of minutes, but my cousin told me I was just paranoid. I haven't gone camping since that day. An anonymous story from 4chan. I used to go visit my grandpa outside of Bozeman in the winters. Grandpa is this tiny little frail old man, but he's pretty hardy. He used to take us snowshoeing up in the mountains and carry most of the gear in his sled that he pulled behind him. It was freaking cold up there. Your snot would be frozen before it even left your nose. The times he did convince us to go out, we ended up staying in ice caves that Grandpa had carved into snowy banks earlier in the winter. And at the time out there, it got dark really early, and of course no campfires, because it was all ice and snow everywhere. One year we're out there camping with Grandpa, and he's really on the edge the whole trip. We don't ask him why, because we're stupid kids and don't think it matters, or maybe we thought it wasn't any of our business. He was acting strangely. He was irritable, with random outbursts, yelling at us for the smallest things. You should have seen how mad he got when we didn't tie a knot right, and he was furious when we didn't keep up with him fast enough. We stopped hiking at about 2 p.m. Nightfall wouldn't be for another 3.5 hours. My brother and I exchanged WTF looks with each other. We look around for his ice cave, but there isn't one. Grandpa, where are we going to be camping? I ask. But then Grandpa's nowhere to be found. We took our eyes off of him for one moment, and he's gone. We can't find his footprints, which is strange because snowshoes leave enormous footprints that you can't miss. We backtrack and follow the trail to where we were earlier. But the footprints just end right there, right where me and my brother were when Grandpa told us to stop for the day. After a lot of deliberation, we decide to head back, following our tracks back to the main road, where we will somehow flag down a car and get someone to help us find our grandpa. We hike about an hour back the way we came when we suddenly hear a voice. Where the hell have you kids been? It's Grandpa, and he's pissed. He says that he was hiking along and all that, and the next time he turned around, we were gone. He says our footprints just ended about 100 paces back from wherever he was when he realized that we were gone. We tell him the same thing happened to us, and we just got back from 2 miles ahead of us on the trail. Suddenly, he goes into wild animal hyper-alert mode, stops talking. His eyes are scanning the forest around us, head pivoting side to side, trying to see everything at once. I'm freaking out, and my brother even starts crying. Grandpa won't respond when we ask him what's wrong, quietly muttering incoherently to himself. After what seems like forever, Grandpa starts moving again, simply says, "Follow me," and we do. Too scared to argue with him, but we realize that he's going in a third direction, not where we came from, and not where we were going originally. We were all hiking close together then, literally stepping on each other's feet because we're so creeped out. If it weren't for the ski poles, we would have been holding hands. We eventually emerge in a clearing. I recognize it as a lake, but you'd never know it in the winter when everything was frozen solid. We get out on the ice and walk all the way to the middle of the lake before we stop. Grandpa tells us to get out our parkas, as we're going to be staying a while. We ask him what's happening, but we don't get an answer. He gets out his binoculars and starts to scan the shoreline. This is a pretty big lake, so without binoculars, neither me nor my brother could really see anything besides little distant trees on the shore. At this point, Grandpa puts the binoculars down, unpacks a fairly large caliber revolver and holster, and puts it on his hip. He then picks the binoculars back up and points them in the same direction he was looking at a minute ago. Me and my brother both look in that direction. I can barely see something moving around. Not just one something, but several of them, all of varying sizes. They're all hanging out on the bank, though. None of them leave the thick brush surrounding the lake or venture onto the ice. After a few minutes, Grandpa silently hands me the binoculars. When I look at the movement on the shore, I almost soil myself. I see three animals. Two are what I can only assume are wolves, maybe coyotes, but I don't think that's what it was, because the bodies were way too long, almost snake-like. The third animal is some sort of all-white thing standing on two legs, and the more I look at it, the stranger it appears. At first, I took it to be a bear, just standing on two legs. Then it starts walking, pacing really, and the legs are just too long and slender to be a bear's. I sit down on the ice, lean up against my backpack, and get a more steady grip on the binoculars. I slowly realize that whatever it is, it has the approximate build of a person, but the head is clearly not that of a human. It's some sort of animal, but I can't place it. I ask my grandpa what the hell it was. My brother snatches the binoculars away from me, and when he sees it, he labels it a bear man and wants to take a few shots at it. Grandpa says he thinks it's an Indian, dressed up in animal fur, trying to blend in with the forest surroundings and the animals he's with. Says that's what they did when they hunted. I still don't stop wanting to soil myself. Because if that's an Indian in a bearskin with two massive, weird-looking wolves, it didn't make any sense at all. And they were following us. Even better. And they were afraid of the ice for whatever reason. It's starting to get dark, and we're still out there on the ice. We're all watching the Indian bear man thing, whatever the heck it was, with his dog wolf creatures, slowly wandering along the coastline, clearly avoiding the lake, but trying to figure out how to get out onto it somehow. Every once in a while, they'll change direction, as though they were pacing back and forth. In the time, I have the binoculars, and I see the thing, his dogs, wolves, motionless and staring directly at us many times. No one breaks the silence for a while. When it gets too dark to see anything on the shore, Grandpa relaxes, puts down the binoculars, and actually starts to make a camp as though nothing had happened. Of course, we didn't have a tent, but we do have sleeping bags and bivy bags to keep the blowing snow off of them and the wind off of our faces. Me and my brother look up at him like he's crazy. "We're gonna sleep out here," he says. I say something along the lines of, "What about that guy out there? He's right over there." But it didn't matter. We spent the long night in that exact spot. The next morning, we can't locate any animals or bear men after 45 minutes of scanning the trees around the lake. So it was safe, right? Grandpa declares it's safe, or safe enough to head back, and since he knows these woods well, we were going to take a different route back to the main road. After a mile, he's doubling back, staring at mountaintops and measuring angles between them with his arms, and I'm convinced he's lost. In the next moment, several things happen at once. With no warning, a huge moose gallops out of seemingly thin air and almost crushes my brother, managing to push him on the ground. Grandpa collapses for an unknown reason. The three of us manage to form a triangle, and then we see him, a slender person covered in white fur like a polar bear, with a bear head, or some kind of canine mask. Thing is, it looked extremely lifelike. The two wolf-like things are circling at a distance. The bear man lets loose a scream like you'd imagine would come from a Bigfoot, not a person. Grandpa half sits up, points his revolver, fires off three shots at the thing in rapid succession. There's a huge puff of snow like a silent explosion, and we can't see anything for a few moments. Then a second moose goes hurtling through, and after it's gone, the snow has settled down, and the bear man is gone too. No traces of blood to be found. We can still see one of the wolves circling us, but it's pretty far away. We proceed to book it out of the woods, taking the shortest and most direct route off the mountain. I think that Grandpa isn't really sure about what's going on, but nobody cares. We have to keep moving, and we all know it. I can see the wolf at the edge of my vision, several hundred feet out through the trees. Can't tell if it's one or two of them at that distance. We eventually do get back to Grandpa's car, which mean he did know where he was going, thankfully. It's been covered in fresh snowfall since we left it there. But there's also 10-inch paw prints all over the place, on it and around it. We clean off the snow and see that there are dents in the hood, like hail fell on it, but they're right under where the paw prints were. On the drive home, we all swear to never speak of this to Grandma or to my mom. We have to swerve out of the way of a huge roadkill in the middle of the road, too. We almost drove off the road, but stopped just in time. The thing in the road that we swerved around was a huge mound of fur with no distinct animal-like forms. No head, no legs, no tail, and there was blood everywhere. It looked more like a giant skin thrown over a giant mound of flesh. And I can see it moving. Grandpa peels the heck out of there, driving home 30 miles per hour over the speed limit, and we never look back. My great-grandmother's encounter with the Loup Garou in East Texas, from Major Batarang. My great-grandmother always used to tell a story about a werewolf-like creature called the Loup Garou. At some point in her life, according to the version my grandpa used to tell, his mom lived along the Sabine River and had some friends over one night for supper. My great-grandmother lived in a house out in the woods, a short distance from town, and everyone was about ready to start heading back. It was past dusk, but not too late, and the guests were just starting to say their goodbyes, when a wailing howl shattered through the stillness of the forest. Everyone inside the house just froze, and one of the women uttered, "Loup Garou." They began shutting the windows in a panic, locking every door. It was believed that the Loup Garou was unable to get inside a locked house. After a short time, and all the house was locked down, my great-grandmother and her guests gathered in the front parlor and hid in the shadows. From the woods rose another piercing howl, and the sounds were much closer now. As they all huddled in silence in the parlor, a heavy form stepped up onto the porch, the weight of its massive body straining the wooden planks. It walked past the door, jiggling its locked knob, and its heavy breathing fogged up the window panes as the creature stepped into the bright beams of the moonlight. It began to peer into the window, but everyone remained entirely motionless, holding their breath. The creature let out a mighty, possibly irritated howl, a howl that my grandpa said made my great-grandmother tremble years later. The beast then walked back into the woods, vanishing in the dark. The dinner party had been so scared that they all decided to stay the night, not daring to step foot outside until morning. In the morning, when they investigated the outside of the cabin, there were giant footprints in the mud all over, long claws sticking out from each of the toes. They didn't stay much longer in that house, moving into town not long after that, then soon moving into the Houston area. That's the story I used to hear from my grandpa. I personally don't know how true it is, but that's the beauty of folklore. You get to hear it. You get to decide for yourself. And sometimes, if you're lucky, you get to see the fear creeping back up in the person who experienced the story. Fear that you can't fake.
Hey, denk dran, dass auch dein Immunsystem Hunger hat. Und probier's mal mit den Gesundheitszielen zur Ernährung in der App AOK Navida. Hol dir Tipps, Rezepte und Challenges für dein gesünderes Ich. Jetzt die App AOK Navida downloaden und loslegen. AOK Plus. Aus Liebe zur Gesundheit.
Weltsparwochen bei der NIBC Bank. Feiern Sie mit uns 80 Jahre NIBC und profitieren von unserer exklusiven Weltsparprämie. Wir schenken allen Neukunden 40 Euro Startguthaben und attraktive Zinsen. www.nibc.de besuchen und flexible Sparmöglichkeiten entdecken. NIBC Bank. Fair und sicher.
Dogman doesn't just howl. He whistles. From Mr. P. I'm 31 years old. I've never been scared of the dark. Then again, I've never been alone in the middle of farms or fields or woods until I was 13. And that happens to be when this occurred. I was 13 and I was with my grandfather. He owned a little farm in West Texas in a small town. We left the house that morning at around 6 or 7 a.m., just as the sun came up in the beginning of spring. There weren't any leaves on the trees, and the grass was yellow. It was a bit cold outside at the time, so we wore jackets to go feed the cows out on the farm. As we pulled up, the cows were not waiting by the fence to get cow feed as they usually did. It was then that we heard a strange whistling sound, similar to the noise a white-tailed deer makes, but longer and kind of aerated. I looked around feeling kind of anxious, trying to see where the sound came from. I tugged on my papa's arm, saying, "What's that sound?" He raised an eyebrow as if to ask what sound. I said, "It whistled like a deer." He shrugged and then began to shake the cake so that the cows would come over. They eventually did show up, but standing in the middle of the field around their calves, as if they were trying to protect them from something. As the bull came rushing up, stopping a good 3 yards from the gate at the barn, it looked up at the hayloft at the top of the barn. It began to huff and stir up dust with its hooves, never taking its eyes off of the loft. My grandpa was growing aggravated. He began to yell out for the cows, which he never did and obviously wouldn't work. He opened the gate, pouring the cake in a line like he usually does with the cows, keeping a close eye on the bull because he was acting so aggressive and strange. The bull would not stop snorting and kicking up dust, and even though he had fresh food in front of him, the bull would not stop staring at the hayloft. Curious, I looked up at the hayloft myself. The sun was shining through into the dark loft, allowing me to see that there was someone standing in there. Someone covered in black and gray fur, standing tall enough that they had to hunch over in a 6-foot-tall loft. Their hands were clawed, with 5 digits like a person, of course, but their silhouette boasted a more German Shepherd-like head shape. It stood there above the barn doors, where the trucks were. It startled me, so I stared at it. But quite quickly I grew so afraid that I did not want to be on the side of the fence alone, so I crawled through the barbed wire fence. I hastily went over to my papa, and I told him, "Look, who's that in the hayloft?" But, like a horror movie cliche, when my grandpa turned to look, the hayloft was empty. "Nothing there," he said. I then frantically explained what I saw. He told me I was just tired, that he woke me up too early, and that the bull acting goofy must have spooked me. "Probably just a barn owl," he said. So we finished up with the cows. Before we knew it, we were going back home to eat breakfast. That afternoon around lunchtime, My cousins and I went out to play in the farm. My papa and dad had taken us out there. I was telling my cousins what I saw and they simply laughed at me. I decided to take a flashlight and climb the ladder to the hayloft to see if I could find any trace of it up there. As I crawled up the ladder, I noticed a smell that I'd never smelled before. And to this day, I've never smelled anything like it. It was this old coppery dirt smell, mixed with wet dog, with a hint of urine. I shone the flashlight up, only to see dark hair on the floor. This startled me, so I began to shimmy down the ladder fast. I grabbed a pile of rocks and began to chunk them into the hayloft, trying to scare that thing out of the barn. But I didn't hear anything but rocks hitting the floor. I pulled out my pocket knife and forced myself to look back up there, thinking if anything came at me, I could stab it or cut it. Steadily, after a while, I crawled back up, peeking over to the fur, to see that the hay had been torn from the ropes binding it, and now there were huge claw marks in the wall, with a partially eaten deer laying there that hadn't been there before. I ran back down the ladder, yelling to my papa. After he investigated, he didn't say what it was. He simply told me that it was best to stay away from the barn. I wish I knew what that lump of fur was. I wish I knew what that thing standing in the hayloft was, and why the cows were so scared of it. But maybe it's best left a mystery. Just remember, some wolves don't howl. Some of them whistle. Shapeshifter, or Unnaturally Large Wolf, from Dakota M. This happened a few years ago on a family farm out in the country, specifically in Australia. On the farm, we have over 50 racing greyhounds that we look after every day. We had acres upon acres of green grass and crops, where I would often take some of these greyhounds out to run for hours. I loved it, but my life wasn't easy. My dad turned into a drug dealer. My mom was abused and a lot of other things. One day, I was running around with my favorite greyhound, Delta, quite far from the farmhouse. I left my phone at home because I couldn't be bothered to bring it. We were running through a field of crops, and my mother and Nana always told me to never go too far to the side of the fields, but they would never say why. So I went around close to the border of the fields, which were greeted by a forest of trees from one side to the other. We walked and walked, when I swear I heard twigs snapping and pounding thuds coming from the edge of the trees, though I couldn't see anything. By then it was getting dark, but it wasn't too noticeable. Even little Deli stopped putting her ears up from time to time, towards the trees. So we began heading back, but I felt like there was something behind me. I glanced, but there was nothing. Then there was a loud snarl, followed by a crunching sound, and a short howl, which made the two of us freeze. Then Delta started to growl, her ears forward, and she was baring her teeth. Then we both saw it, what appeared to be a huge, beautiful black wolf. I was confused and scared, because wolves were not around in Australia. The odd part was, it wasn't showing any signs of aggression. No baring teeth, no flat ears on its head, no odd tail movement. Delta then tucked her tail between her legs and her ears went flat, and she began to whimper. The thing that mostly drew my attention was its piercing, glowing yellow eyes. And weirdly enough, the creature gave off this vibe that actually made me feel comfortable. It stood in the long dead grass, staring at us with its ears pointed up like a statue. I took a risk and turned away quickly, running back for the house. When I made it to the top of the hill, I turned, but I could no longer see it. If anything, it may have been following me, stalking me where I couldn't see it. So we ran back home. I let Delta inside for the night, to keep her safe, as I did not want to take any chances. I of course told my mom of this, and she said I was probably seeing things. I then went to tell my nan, who then told me a strange story. I didn't know about this, but my mother apparently had a miscarriage. They would have had a little girl before me, and she would have been my older sister. She then said that the creature may be the reincarnation of my older sister. I was dumbfounded, not sure if I believed that story. Then again, we don't have wolves here, and wolves don't get that big. But that wasn't the end of it. One day we went down to the closest shop open for dinner. When we came back, our locked front door had been smashed in. There were huge paw marks on the front porch, several times bigger than the greyhounds. Immediately, I thought of that massive wolf that I'd seen. My mother always kept a baseball bat in the car, just in case, but when she went inside, no one was in the house, and nothing had been taken. We had a camera on the front porch, so we checked it out, and I was shocked at what we saw. There was a guy dressed in black with a knife trying to picklock the door, before smashing it in, but before actually entering the home, we watched the guy throw the knife to the side and running off the porch into the darkness, as if he was in a panic at something. We should have been able to see what left the paw print, but we never did. It was like a clue as to what scared the guy, without any evidence of what could have made it. This influenced my family enough to actually call out a ranger and let them know that some kind of animal was lurking on the property and that it could be dangerous. But after all these years, I haven't seen it again. But I do know that if it truly was violent or dangerous, it would have ended me when it had the chance. Something was right outside. From GG. My best friend's parents own a small log cabin on a small, secluded river in the middle of the forest. It's about a 2-mile hike from the nearest highway. In this story, I'll refer to my best friend as M. Two more of my friends factor into this story, and I'll refer to the one who was 16 years old as P, and the 15-year-old as J. It was mid-June of 2019. We were having a party to celebrate the end of our first year of high school. There were about 20 people who attended the party, but M, J, P, and myself stayed for the night. The actual party was very fun, and we all went swimming up and down the river. It wasn't too far from the cabin. Plus, there's a long rock that sticks out about 40 feet above the river, which we named Chicken Rock, because if you don't jump off into the water from it, you're a chicken. Personally, I love jumping off the thing, so myself and M quickly climbed up to the small outcrop. There were about 5 other people following us who wanted to jump. M and myself helped people climb up the small rock face to get to the Chicken Rock, so we were the last 2 people to actually jump off. When it came to us, I let M go first. I watched as he plummeted downward and landed into the river. As I stood on the top of the rock, I could see the forest around me, everyone swimming happily below. And if my eyes weren't deceiving me, there was something on the other side of the river in the woods. It was pretty far back, but my high vantage point allowed me to barely make out a large black shape. I have no idea what it was, but my friends started yelling at me for taking too long. When I looked back up at the figure, the thing was gone. I jumped into the river and we swam back. I said nothing because it would sound insane. We ate some dinner and everyone talked. But at around 8 p.m., people who were not spending the night made their way back to where we designated a space for them to park. By 9 p.m., everyone except for myself, MJP, and M's family were gone. There were only 8 of us in all. My 3 friends and I went out to the edge of the river and built a small campfire. We sat around it for a good hour, talking about the school year and our summer plans. We were having a good time, but then it began to pour, and the fire was quickly put out. We walked back to the cabin and all sat down inside. As for the sleeping arrangements, my 3 friends and I would sleep on the screened-in porch, while M's family slept inside on the couch and the bed. We went to sleep around 11 p.m. after playing some board games. No more strange things had happened since I jumped off the rock, but the night was about to take a turn for the worst. We were sleeping on the screened-in porch. It was pretty uncomfortable, so we had a very hard time actually falling asleep. I do remember eventually falling asleep, and when I woke up, it was still pitch black. The only thing I could see was the faint outline of my friends sleeping, and the moon's reflection off the river, faintly lighting the areas around it. Something had to have awakened me, but I was not exactly sure what it was yet. But then I heard it. A loud howl coming from the other side of the river. In fact, it sounded like it was coming from the same place I'd seen that figure earlier. I went completely silent and still. It went on for a good 20 minutes in the same spot before finally stopping. I stayed quiet, realizing that my friends were no longer breathing deeply and slowly, because they too had been awakened and had been listening to the howl. M, who was a Boy Scout, turned to us in the darkness and whispered, "I've never heard anything like that before." I quietly whispered back, "Would you say that was a coyote?" "No, that wasn't a coyote," M replied. "Too loud, too deep, and we don't have wolves around here either." Now we were all scared, lying on the screened-in porch having no idea what to do, no idea how long until the sun came up. A little while later, the howl came again, interrupting my friends whispering to each other. Same spot, same howl. This time it came every 30 seconds, for a few minutes, until I noticed something. It was getting fainter, perhaps moving away from us, down the river, perhaps moving away toward the lake. But then, when we all thought it was about to be over, it changed course and began heading this way. "It must have gone around the lake," I whispered. M said, "Yeah, it's definitely getting closer." He was right. The howling was getting louder and happened more frequently. Just when it sounded like it was right there, it stopped completely. We were all completely quiet, hardly even breathing. We began to hear twigs cracking under something heavy, and whatever it was, walked near the waterline. The moon's reflection illuminated it. We were all horrified, yet amazed at the same time. It was massive. We have a hammock strung between 2 trees nearby that's about 3 feet off the ground. This thing was more than 2 times the size of it, and it was further away. I would guess it was at least 8 feet tall. Then it began growling. It walked on its back legs over to the cabin. The growling was so close, whatever it was stood right outside the screened porch. I thought it could have just reached right through and grabbed us, but it never tried. It stood there for a while, before slowly making its way back into the woods. The thump of its steps and the branches cracking grew fainter and fainter, until we could all breathe a sigh of relief. We heard one final howl, and then heard it no more. None of us fell asleep that night, and when the sun finally came up, we were ready to leave. M's family had heard whatever the thing was too, and asked if we had seen what made the sound. We told them everything, and they weren't sure what it was either. One thing is for sure, we all saw whatever it was, and don't plan on going back to that cabin anytime soon.